Hello and welcome to 3 Minutes with Newman. This is Father Juan Velez, Doctor of the Church, Part 2. St. John Henry Newman's profound contributions to church teaching encompass his groundbreaking work on doctrinal development, the nature of conscience, the relationship between faith and reason, and ecclesiology. When he receives the title Doctor Ecclesiae, it will likely reflect one of these central themes of his theological legacy. Newman follows in the footsteps of many who have been raised up by God throughout history. These men and women, distinguished by their faith, reason, and charity, are saints who serve as beacons of truth, with some emerging as exceptional teachers of the faith. Newman's development of Christian doctrine offers invaluable guidance for those charged with guiding the church, bishops and Catholic theologians. These leaders must grapple with questions of how doctrine and practice authentically develop within the faith. Development should not intimidate us. As Newman observed, it signals healthy growth. Yet we must cultivate the ability to distinguish genuine development from doctrinal corruption. Understanding how revelation, doctrine, tradition, and magisterial authority work together in the church. Newman's insights on this matter remain both valuable and timely. Newman compares the development of an idea or doctrine to the development of a stream. He writes, quote, "It is indeed sometimes said that the stream is clearest near the spring. Whatever use may fairly be made of this image, it does not apply to the history of a philosophy or belief, which on the contrary is more equable and purer and stronger when its bed has become deep and broad and full." Close quote. In the same text, he continues describing the nature of a great idea or truth and its growth. Quote, "It necessarily rises out of an existing state of things, and for a time savors of the soil. Its vital element needs disengaging from what is foreign and temporary, and is employed in efforts after freedom, which become more vigorous and hopeful as its years increase. Its beginnings are no measure of its capabilities nor of its scope. At first, no one knows what it is or what it is worth. It remains perhaps for a time quiescent. It tries, as it were, its limbs and proves the ground under it and feels its way. From time to time, it makes essays which fail and are in consequence abandoned. It seems in suspense which way to go. It wavers and at length strikes out in one definite direction. In time, it enters upon strange territory. Points of controversy alter their bearing. Parties rise and around it. Dangers and hopes appear in new relations, and old principles reappear under new forms. It changes with them in order to remain the same. In a higher world, it is otherwise. But here below, to live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often." Close quote. Doctor of Conscience would be another possible title for St. John Henry Newman. The 20th century witnessed renewed attention to moral conscience, both in popular culture and theological circles. The human person began to understand more fully, taking into account personal history and interior life, thoughts, desires, fears, and aspirations. Newman recognized moral conscience as a defining characteristic of the human person and emphasized its crucial role in the exercise of personal freedom. His influence extended even to movements of resistance, as seen in the White Rose Group's engagement with his teaching on conscience. In the letter to the Duke of Norfolk, Newman defends the rights of conscience and addresses the tension between allegiance to Christ through the Church and loyalty to one's country. He offers this striking definition, quote, "Conscience is not a long-sighted selfishness, nor a desire to be consistent with oneself, but it is a messenger from Him who both in nature and in grace speaks to us behind a veil and teaches and rules us by His representatives. Conscience is the aboriginal vicar of Christ, a prophet in its informations, a monarch in its peremptoriness, a priest in its blessings, and anathemas. And even though the eternal priesthood throughout the Church could cease to be, in it the sacerdotal principle would remain and would have a sway." Close quote. For Newman, moral conscience serves as a pathway through which humanity discovers a personal and provident God. When we recognize that voice beyond ourselves speaking with authority about what should be done and what must be avoided, we encounter the supreme external being who is God, speaking to us through our conscience. The harmony between faith and reason, their respective limits and their interaction, represents another cornerstone of Newman's theological corpus. His idea of a university and the Oxford University sermons explore these pressing contemporary questions. While other champions of faith in academic settings have emerged, notably St. Thomas Aquinas, Newman reinforces among students and teachers the conviction that our world emanates from a loving God who reveals himself to humanity through both faith and reason. Though Newman never composed a systematic treatise on ecclesiology, his various works, including Lectures on Justification, Development of Christian Doctrine, the Apologia, and the preface to his Via Media, offer rich insights into the nature of the Church, hierarchy, laity, and ecumenism. While this aspect of his thought has received less scholarly attention than his other contributions, it remains equally significant. Another one of his even less developed, but also important contributions to theology, is what could be called his theology of history, with its understanding of God's general and particular providence. This survey of St. John Henry Newman's major theological contributions illuminates his role as a teacher and future doctor of the Church, whose insights continue to guide and inspire the faithful.